So joining today on this podcast is Matthias Mende, who's a black blockchain enthusiast currently building Bonus Market, and he's also the co-founder at Dubai Blockchain Center. Second speaker today is Crypto DJ. He's a crypto enthusiast, DJ, and NFT lover. Crypto DJ, do you have any name that you want me to refer to? Or I think DJ is good.
TJ is good. They all call me TJ here, so I got used to the
Okay.
name by now.
So gentlemen, this space essentially goes and gets published on our website. And we do it in a sort of a podcast way. So there are going to be a few questions that I'm going to be asking you, which will be later on, you turn into short bites, which will be published on social media. And the series, as I mentioned earlier, it's providing enriching information about the exciting world of crypto and Web3. And we do panel discussion AMAs with our guest speakers. So thank you so much once again for accepting our invite. And before we get started, I wanted to, just get your understanding a little bit about the market first. I know the topic today that you've chosen is SocialFi, which we feel has been gaining a lot of traction, especially in the last few days. But before that, since you guys follow the market so closely, I was wondering if we can just start a little bit of discussion on the market first. So Mendes, let me start with you. How's the market looking to you right now?
The market, it's hopeful, but I think it needs some more time to pick up.
Okay.
We need the bull market to come in, and I think it's going to take another year, or hopefully it's going to come if the ETF starts and BlackRock buys in, because for some reason, Bitcoin, it's like somehow the main narrative helps the rest of the market to grow. But obviously there are other new applications and new projects needed, which are already, some of them are there and some they are coming, which have better narrative than the projects of the old bull run. I
Right.
believe that the DeFi, it's a bit dead, and there are a lot of social fi and game fi coming, and with much better utilities and use cases, and also much more ease of use and user friendliness than the previous applications, thanks to like smart wallets, account abstractions, and yeah, simple, more simpler user interfaces.
But if I could just, ask you a little bit upon that, a little bit further. Do you think we have the bottom in for Bitcoin? This is the bottom that we are hitting, somewhere around, I think, $25,000. Or do you think still feel that we can go to that $20,000 again before we can make another high?
My personal opinion on that is that I think we had the bottom already.
Okay.
But some big traders who I know, they're telling me that it's going to be another bottom. So I just hope it doesn't happen. But in
Okay.
this speculative and manipulative market where a lot of big whales and big people actually are able to control the price, I can kind of imagine that it might go more down, and then the big guys will newly buy in, because they are more capitalists, you know? They are not like passionists like us who build things out of pleasure for a purpose.
All
So
right.
yeah, that's my opinion.
DJ, let me quickly bring you in on that same thought. What's your thought on the market right now, and where do you see it going in the short term?
Okay, sorry. I agree. I think that unfortunately, I think there's going to be like another bottom coming in. Hopefully not. I agree. I hope there's not another one. But I do believe that around
Hi, DJ. Am
22,
I audible to you?
20. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Now I can hear you. I
Ah,
think I got dropped in the middle. Yes.
sure, yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know what happened. I went out and went back in just in case. So
Okay.
to answer your question, I agree. Unfortunately, I do believe it's like another year and a half. I'd give it tonight after half a year after the halving of Bitcoin, is my opinion. That's when the bull will actually start. And I think there's going to be another bottom around 2022. I hope not, of course. But I do believe it
Okay.
needs a little bit more before we bounce back up. That's my personal take, at least.
All right, that's fair, I think. And you know, what I've seen with Bitcoin is, of course, you know, we've seen strength in Bitcoin, but I can say the same thing about altcoins. You know, there's not been any major spike, not been major any volumes. So I wanted to ask you both, like, what's your opinion on altcoins right now? Are they still worth investing, or you still got to wait?
Myself personally, yeah, for what you said, for example, my grandfather, he has heard of Bitcoin and the word crypto, but he doesn't know anything else. So it shows that the main narrative inside crypto is that Bitcoin has its name by itself. But unfortunately, altcoins haven't got that name as big as Bitcoin. Myself personally, I'm not really investing too much in other projects at the moment. But I do agree that, like the last bull one, there should be a decent amount of projects that will revive this next bull one. In the sense that each bull one did have its own 3 to 5, maybe 10 main bits that stood out and made it through the wave of the bull one. And I believe that is going to be the same for the next one, but with projects that are very, very, very small at the moment, that they're just waiting and working and growing in this current bear market to hopefully ride the way for the next bull market.
All right. Matthias, let me put this question to you a little differently. One area where I feel a lot of investors make a mistake is that they assume that, just because this altcoin gave this much return in the last bull run, they are going to do the same thing again. So I wanted to ask you, like, do you think this kind of psychology, investment psychology, is problematic? And some of the coins which have done well in the past, do you think, are we going to achieve those numbers again, or this new bull cycle will have new projects coming in? Gentlemen, I think there's some sort of a network issue. I don't know if it's on my end. But Matthias, did you get my question?
I unfortunately can't hear him either.
Yeah. I don't know why is that happening. The space is becoming so...
All right.
Yeah, now I think...
Now I'm a speaker. I was not a speaker for some reason.
Okay. So, do you want me to repeat the question to you again, or did you understand the question?
Sure, I understood it. So, I believe personally that, I mean, that you asked also about old projects, that they will have like a kind of a rebound, and they will come...
You know, yeah, the thing is that, some old projects, they did well in the last full run, but my question to you is, will they repeat that kind of success again? Because some investors, they are investing today in the anticipation of the previous all-time high. So do you think we'll reach to that all-time high again, or this new bull run will have new projects and not, maybe those old projects might not do so well again?
I believe actually in both things. I believe that a lot of old projects will come back and they will go up again and perhaps even more up than ever before. But also it depends, like a new project of course too, but it always depends on the demand and on the supply, right? How many people believe in it, how many want to buy in. And as much more projects coming in, and there also needs to be a lot of new people coming in who actually purchase those tokens in order for them to go up. One of the risks which I see is, I mean, in terms of market making, a lot of projects which bottomed, a lot of people bought them.
Projects they did well in the last bull run, but my question to you is, will they repeat that kind of success again? Because some investors, they are investing today in the anticipation of the previous all-time high. So do you think we'll reach to that all-time high again, or this new bull run will have new projects and not, maybe those old projects might not do so well again?
I believe actually in both things. I believe that a lot of old projects will come back and they will go up again and perhaps even more up than ever before. But also it depends, like a new project of course too, but it always depends on the demand and on the supply, right? how many people believe in it, how many want to buy in, and as much more projects coming in, and there also needs to be a lot of new people coming in who actually purchase those tokens in order for them to go up. One of the risks which I see is, I mean, in terms of market making, a lot of projects which bottomed, you know, a lot of people bought them, and perhaps when they go up, there will be a bigger selling pressure. So in my personal opinion, I think that the realistic and good projects with a purpose who are like completely circulating in the market, I'm very sure that they will go up. Like, I'm sure they will go up a lot. And the top 100 tokens which are there now, they will also probably most of them sustain, because most of them actually they have a valid use case, and they make sense, you know, they have some potential.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Ethereum before we're going to start talking about SocialFi. I think that's the whole idea about this podcast that we're doing today. You know, Ethereum recently has come under a lot of scrutiny and backlash. You know, JP Morgan today called it highly centralized. So I want to know from you, like, how you look at Ethereum, and with so much competition that we're seeing with newer protocols such as Optimism and Arbitrum, would you think that the next, you know, bull run will be brought by layer 2 protocol?
Well, layer 2 protocols, they make things more easy for the projects, right? I mean, look at Polygon, for example. It's much more, like, they're more user-friendly, transactions are less, but that depends, obviously, on the applications which are built with them. So if a good application uses Polygon, for example, and gets more users, then also the main project itself benefits. So it's not just, like, it's not just the protocols. It depends also on the projects which use those type of blockchains and protocols. And Ethereum itself, I think it's upgrading. It also keeps delaying the upgrades. But long term, I believe that every EVM, it's like Ethereum technology, it's, in my opinion, like the best, because the most stuff is built in terms of ERCs and those NFT technologies and all those other kind of protocols. And it has the best community. And when I saw at ECC the developers and all the people building on Ethereum, I totally believe in it. And I believe it will be also, thanks to EVM, the most interoperable technology. So I totally would go into like Polygon and Arbitrum Nova. I like very much Polygon 2.0. Will be very special with the whole ZK rollups. And yeah, I see the future in this for sure.
DA, how are you looking at layer 2s? Your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. I think that in the last bull run, it was mainly, especially with BNB and the BSC chain, that was something like really big to compete with the Ethereum chain. And I think, yeah, the same about the next bull run will be mainly the second layers, which are like the newer, the more upgraded, the most optimized versions of like the layers 1. So like the foundation now, these are to make transactions faster, cheaper, more seamless. So I agree. Like you said, there's Optimism, there's Polygon, and there's Arbitrum. There's many, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the 2, 3, maybe 5 that will stand out at the end of the day. And it's not only them that's going to be experiencing all the profits or like the gains of the next bull run, but like the layers too, at the end of the day, where they were founded on, either it's on the BSC or the EIC or whether they were the layers 1, both of them will gain. But there's more sides on the layers 2 or more potential of upsides on the second layers than the main ones, of course. And I agree. I'm a big fan of Ethereum myself. And there were like the, after Bitcoin, of course, there were like one of the first ones there, Cardano, of course. And most of the people, they started out on it. It's like most of the big NFTs started out on Ethereum as well. A lot of big tokens that we know nowadays were on the Ethereum chain. So I don't see it going anywhere.
Right. So I think now I think it's really a good place to start. We've got a little bit of hang of the market right now. So I think it's a good place to start talking about this new trend that we've been witnessing, and that is this rise of decentralized social media, and most recently been the social finance platforms. We saw Stars Arena take in huge volumes this week, and some might say that, it has brought Avalanche from the dead. So my question to you first is, Matthias, have you had a chance to use both these platforms? And by both, I mean Prentech and now the Stars Arena. And what's your review of these platforms in terms of user experience?
I did not use Stars Arena yet. I did,
Okay.
but I use Friends Tech. And what I like is they do the onboarding with the account abstraction and the easiness and in the progressive web app. So the concept itself, I'm not sure if it's gonna sustain long term because I feel the utility to just chat to a person by owning his tokens. It's a bit hard because if there are too many owners, I don't know how the person will talk with so many. Like, I mean, how the influencer on the platform will be able to have conversation with like hundreds of people, since we are already so busy people and we already have like dozens of conversations a day on Telegram and WhatsApp. So it's quite overwhelming. So I'm not sure how much value people can extract from those type of conversation, or it's more like a fan thing. But in general, the concept is great and everything it's experimental. So the ultimate platform is, in my opinion, still yet to come. And Stars Arena, I'll have to actually try it out to be able to talk more about it. But I think feel that Friends Tech did a good job, and I'm happy that they got so many signups and things kind of work out because it opens doors for more applications and more cool platforms to go in the similar direction, but perhaps with a little bit different of utilities and use cases inside.
Right. Thanks for that, Matthias. DJ, have you had a chance to use these platforms, and what do you feel about them?
I couldn't have said it better than what Matthias said, to be honest. Unfortunately, I haven't used Stars Arena yet. I have tried just a little bit, not too much, I'll be honest. Friends Free. The concept is quite new. And I have to admit, it's been popping up on my timeline in the last week or two a lot. And I mean, a lot more than average. So it's definitely getting back traction, that's for sure. And I agree that the main application isn't out there yet. This is just the building steps towards the end goal, which whoever or whatever that's going to be, we don't know yet. But I agree that, like everything nowadays, all digitalized and decentralized. Well, we try to decentralize, which is always a good thing. So I think, yeah, we have, like I said, WhatsApp, there's WeChat for the people in Asia, mainly China, there's Telegram, there's Botim, there's Line, there's Live, there's so many out there. But yeah, decentralized, not that many. So I do believe that the main one hasn't been created yet. But I think the idea is good. It's going to have a lot of potential in the years to come.
And it was not very long ago that then when we saw this form called Mastodon, which everybody said it's going to substitute Twitter, but now nobody seems to be talking about it. So sometimes I worry that crypto market moves in some sort of a hype. There's some we just shift from one trend to another. So because right now we see a lot of investors, they're putting a lot of money in buying these shares of these platforms. So I wanted to ask from you, do you think there's some value proposition here, or what should how should like a regular investor proceed with these social fi platforms? DJ, want to go first?
I don't know if you can hear me now. I can't hear anyone.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Ah, perfect. Okay. Sorry, I didn't get the full question there. Could you answer it? Sorry, ask it again, please.
I was saying that the crypto markets, it's very notorious that we jump from one trend to another. So my question to you is that right now a lot of money is involved because a lot of investors who are coming to these social fi platforms, they are also investing in buying the keys, buying the shares of these influencers. So how would you recommend that these investors, how should they proceed with these social fi platforms? Should they wait right now, or do you think they should jump on this bandwagon and make some returns while they can?
That's a very difficult question to answer. I would say it's a 50-50. Like, the people that have the more courage, I would say it that way, and want to take that risk, because it's a higher risk, of course, but high risk, high reward, you know. So the people that are going to get really early on some of these social five platforms can make a lot of gains. But if you want to maybe secure, I guess, just wait a bit more, see how it evolves, and see how it goes. Because like you said, there's so many trends that come and go. I mean, look at Pippa, for example. That's not even half a year old, and it seems to have disappeared in thin air. Or, for example, with all the metaverse and Meta and whatnot, that was such a huge hype a year and a bit ago. And only because the name of Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram is owned by the same person. But if not, that has lost a lot of hype, in my opinion, in the last year and a bit. So trends come and go. I do believe this one. Don't know if you have me, okay.
Right. I think I could not get the last part because I don't know if it's your DJ, it's your network or it's mine, because, you know, I sometimes having trouble listening to your.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to re-say what I said, or?
No, no, I actually got your part. You said, you know, of course, it's very risky. Some people, they made a lot of returns while they hold, but I think investors should proceed with caution. So, Matthias, I want you to understand, because, you know, you have some experience with the creator economy. Like, I think bonus is something that you're building a community around that, and community of Web3 creators. So could you tell us, like, how do you think the social pie will look in future, and, you know, some innovations or developments that you anticipate in this space?
Sure. So in regards to the creator economy, so we've been thinking already, like 3 years ago, I had the idea to tokenize creators and celebrities in order to give more value to the communities by them holding a token. But then there are a lot of critical complications also coming up. How reliable is the creator? The token itself, it's a digital asset. What about the regulations? There's a lot of complications why this stuff can't exactly easy hit the mainstream. Then there's another problem with the usability for the users when they kind of get this token. In which wallet do they hold it? You know, because the most users come from the Web2 world, they are completely inexperienced in the Web3 world. So for them, it's going to be really, really hard to even save a passphrase or a seed phrase. And then they might copy paste it, save it somewhere. So there's a lot of problematics which have to do with the user experience, and which can very easy, like a bad user experience, can very easy turn a good project or a good idea into something bad, because if people lose the seed phrases and passwords, and sorry, not the seed phrases, and then they simply lose their tokens, and then they might be even mad at the celebrity or the creator. So a lot of those points can backfire. So Friendstack, for example, I can tell that they did a few things right, because they use account abstraction, and therefore it's much more simpler to actually sign in, because users also use Google and so on. So in our scenario where we're building bonus, for example, once we identified these problems over the time, we actually started to build, like, to pivot into a wallet, into a social smart wallet, because we figured out that the wallet is actually the most important part between, like, in this whole ecosystem, because it's the tool which gives the user experience and which easifies everything. So it's basically kind of like an operating system, but it's not an operating system, but it could be imagined like one, where the users sign in, sign up, and they also need to somehow secure their keys. And nowadays it's possible even to store the seed phrases, back them up on the iCloud, and this helps a lot. Maybe there's a little bit security risk more, But at the end of the day, it gives a better experience. So there's a lot of angles which needs to be tackled in the right way. And we've been building for 2 years. So we got this chassis now, which is the social smart wallet. And then we want to create the creator economy on top of that. And in our scenario, like how Friendstack has done with Keys, we actually call it creator subscriptions. But at the end of the day, they are all tokens. But then also legally, it's a big challenge because our lawyer says that for every creator or every celebrity who comes on board and generates his own token, it's like a new company because the digital assets should be connected to a company. So it seems much more simpler to actually sign in because users also use Google and so on. So in our scenario where we're building Bonus, for example, once we identified these problems over the time, we actually started to build, like to pivot into a wallet, into a social smart wallet, because we figured out that the wallet is actually the most important part between, like, in this whole ecosystem, because it's the tool which gives the user experience and which easifies everything. So it's basically kind of like an operating system, but it's not an operating system, but it could be imagined like one, where the users sign in, sign up, and they also need to somehow secure their keys. And nowadays, it's possible even to store the seed phrases, back them up on the iCloud. And this helps a lot. Maybe there's a little bit security risk more, but at the end of the day, it gives a better experience. So there's a lot of angles which needs to be tackled in the right way. And we've been building for 2 years. So we got this chassis now, which is the social smart wallet. And then we want to create the creator economy on top of that. And in our scenario, like how Friendstack has done with Keys, we actually call it creator subscriptions. But at the end of the day, they are all tokens. But then also legally, it's a big challenge because our lawyer says that for every creator or every celebrity who comes on board and generates his own token, it's like a new company because the digital assets should be connected to a company. So it seems that every creator which is coming, there needs to be a new company established, which is legally allowed to bring out this token. And the token also needs to be like a utility. It gives a lot of utilities, which is possible through like token gating functions. And that's where the wallet comes in, because the wallet could have those token gating functions integrated, which then enable the users to use the utilities. And then we can think about all kinds of utilities, not just to send messages or have a direct contact, but perhaps for the users to be in a group together, the users, the token holders of the creator token, to perhaps have some access into private communities, to have perhaps a metaverse room on Spatial where they can access through token gating, and also do activities online, perhaps to support the creator or the celebrity, but to get the respect so the creator see that there's the loyalty, and this all can be accounted. So nowadays there's a lot of, like Degen score, for example, they count the on-chain activity, and this is very easy to measure, but we actually need to measure the off-chain activity, which is much more complex to measure because you need like social media analytic tools and somehow an AI part, which is kind like tracking what the users who hold the tokens are doing towards the creator. And then you get new problems again, which could be like with surveillance, GDPR, data breaches. So the whole legal side, if somebody wants to bring out a genuine project, it's just hell.
Right.
I don't think that any kid who has a cool idea can actually build something like that. And that's our ultimate kind, like tracking what the users who hold the tokens are doing towards the creator. And then you get new problems again, which could be like with surveillance, GDPR, data breaches. So the whole legal side, if somebody wants to bring out a genuine project, it's just hell.
Right.
I don't think that any kid who has a cool idea can actually build something like that. And that's ultimately why I feel that a lot of projects fail. I mean, we are going through hell, but we're trying to figure a way out. That's why I'm really happy that there are projects like Friends Tech and the Arena One, and I'm looking forward to explore them more and see what happens in the near future.
I think the major difference, Matthias, is that you are also doing it in the right way, because you're taking the regulation bit on the side. Because a lot of projects, they come first, they launch, and then they think about the regulatory side. So I think since you're taking it, you know, everything together, so that's the reason I think you're facing this sort of a struggle. So, but in the end, I think you're doing the right thing. You are on the right track.
Thank you.
Before we move ahead, I think let me quickly bring in Drew. Drew is another speaker who joined us today, and he's a software engineer who's developed various applications and smart contracts. And he's also a fond collector of blue chip NFTs. So Drew, welcome. Welcome to this podcast. Let me quickly bring the host to, you know, give you the permission to speak. Host, can you please put Drew on the speaker panel? So Drew, we've been talking about SocialFi. You know, we can love your thoughts on that. You know, there's been a lot of you know, news around that. We've seen a lot of traction, a lot of volume on Avalanche, especially with the Stars Arena. So what are your thoughts? Have you used these platforms? And where do you think they're going to go from here?
GM, friends. Yeah, I've been on FriendTech is the one on Ethereum that I've used.
Right.
And then I also have my own shitcoin called Army that's my own SocialFi token. So that's been fun to have my own friends buy into my token and token gate my community with different things. So, yeah, I'm a Solidity developer and enjoy making those ERC-20 and ERC-721 tokens on Ethereum. And it's been fun making some of those for some other people, too, and seeing how they can token gate their audience in different ways and the different benefits they can give their audience. So. Yeah, I'm really bullish on SocialFi and think we're going to see some really exciting innovation in that in this bull run.
But apart from token gating, do you think what are some other ways that you think that, you know, we're going to see some, you know, utilities? What kind of other utilities do you think we're going to see with SocialFi?
I think just the value that being an influencer in this world that you'll get out of being on different SocialFi platforms. I don't think FriendTech's going to be the last mover. I think there'll be another one that comes along. I think there's already some that you've seen on other blockchains that are coming and doing really well. I do think token gating is the easiest way. But apart from that, I just think the revenue that you can drive as an influencer is pretty important.
All right. So let me quickly ask you one more question that is regarding, you know, the future. Because like I mentioned earlier during this podcast that, you know, everything in crypto moves in cycles. You know, we had DeFi, we had NFTs. Now there are rumors that, you know, next is going to be GameFi. And some people say there might be another NFT comeback. SocialFi, of course, is there in the picture. And another interesting thing, which a lot of people talk about today, is real world assets. So my question to all of you gentlemen is, like, what is your take? What is going to be hot this cycle? Which is the trend that you guys are closely following? And you can tell our audience about that.
Yeah, I do think NFTs are coming back. We're seeing low floors on those right now. So it's a good entry point. I've been purchasing just from select collections, just sniping and purchasing NFTs. On Ethereum, those are any of the Yuga products. I think we're going to see a good comeback during this bull run. So the Ponks, the Basie, the Macy, those type of collections are going to do well in this bull run. You already have the network effects with those and strong communities. So you're going to see those do well. I think I like Pudgy Penguins. I've got one of those under contract I'm going with. And D-Gods is another great collection. There's essentially your top few collections there that are pretty easy to research, that have strong communities, are going to do really well this bull run as people come back into crypto. On other blockchains, there's a number of the ones I like on Solana. I think that'll do well. And then Yeah, I just think NFTs are fascinating. These ERC-721 tokens, you can do so much with a community behind them that you can really have some fun in the bull run with those. But I'll turn it over to some of the other speakers to get their opinions as well.
Right. I love your optimism though, Drew, because, you know, NFTs, people are still questioning them aloud. Will they revive again? But I love your optimism there. DJ, pretty quick to bring you in. What is the trend that you're most excited about?
That's a good question. I do believe that all these social fies and social media, but in crypto, something that's very interesting for me. It's a new world that I'm looking at bit by bit. And what Matthias said did give me an eye-opening encounter. I didn't think about it in the creator aspect to tokenize your things. So I'm really interested in social fi, to be honest. That's what I'm really excited about. NFTs, I agree they're coming back, but I think that in the last one was NFT was like purely art. I think that the NFTs that are gonna come back will be with more and more utilities. For example, one that I've had recently, in Telegram, you can buy an actual username, I saw, and that is tokenized within their platform, which is Tonkeep, I believe. So it's a new aspect of NFTs. It's not just purely the art form that it was before. Like, it was the art, and with the art came a utility. Now it's just purely the utility focus that's driving, in my opinion, the new NFTs that will be coming through. But social is really new. And like I said before, we're social human beings. People want to interact either with friends or people that they do idolize or influencers, etc. So I do believe that's going to be a huge marketplace in the next bull run and the next few months to come. And yes.
All right. Thanks for that. Matthias, your thoughts? What are you most bullish on?
Well, thank you. So, well, I need to say to Drew, like what he said, that one statement. For example, I personally don't believe in the NFT collections which just represent art. But there are some of them, like obviously Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, CryptoPunks, which are like the blue chips, and I see them more as like a club because it's possible to token gate them and bring utilities, which also means that it's possible to bring utilities for all other NFTs, but it really depends on the community and on which application they use. So, for example, in our application, we build it in a way that all those projects which actually don't have utilities, they could get utilities through being on Bonus and give like unique possibilities to their holders. Like, that's the beauty. Personally, think that utility NFTs, which can change the state, like the same way like DJ said, that it's, for example, like in Telegram, the mobile numbers which come as NFTs, they have an utility, but there will be much more. So we, for example, we developed a dynamic, like a kind of smart contract for dynamic NFTs, can change the state, but our NFTs, they are just like vouchers, subscriptions, certificates. The minters, they can decide if they are soulbound or not soulbound. Also, proof of attendance kind of tokens, but we see them more like reputation score tokens based on what people do in certain situations for the organizers to see if those members are actually, those holders are actually valuable and add value to the cause or not. But that then depends again to this on-chain and off-chain analytics, which can be done on those holders. But yeah, I definitely see a big use case for dynamic NFTs and utility NFTs in general. I feel that the projects which just have art and they will not make it unless they are connected to the digital twin, like physicals, like to a true artwork, then I feel again it makes sense. And I see also a good hype going on. Not a hype, but there's a company here. They called ArtFi, and they actually managed to fractionalize NFTs, and they do it in a way that they start working now with museums to fractionalize very expensive art, and the art will stay in the museum, but now the chance.
Gemma, I think I lost my connection again. Could somebody please tell if my voice is audible?
Audible. Yes, so this was my take on the NFTs. Real world assets, yeah. I think I can talk a little bit later about it.
But so sorry, yeah. I think this has been one of the major concerns for this entire space. But due to paucity of time, I think we're going to conclude this podcast. You know, before I let you go, I would quickly ask you to please share with us, you know, what are your plans going forward? Matthias, of course, you've given us a brief overview how you're going to be doing, what you're going to be doing with Bonus Markets. But let us quickly understand, like, you know, what's the future plans? What are some interesting things that are coming on the platform?
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, we are planning to, like, we are finalizing the development of the social smart wallet this month. We're going through the Apple Store reviews. And game, Apple keeps on stopping, change this, change that. No that mention, no this mention. So I feel we are like arriving in the final phase, and hopefully by next week we have the confirmation. And then we actually, before we start with the creator economy, we actually planning to focus on events and real life functions, because you see there's so many crypto events and so many events happening in general, but you go to those events and only the name of the event has to do with crypto and the people there, but then at the end nobody actually uses crypto and brain. So that's why we try to tackle the real world with events first, and then slowly to put more use cases. That's why I said also in the beginning that the wallet needs to be like operating system which can run different utilities transformative on top. Yeah, that's basically it. Thank you so much for having me. And I think Drew also had something important to say because he'd been lifting the hand. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Matthias. Right now, my main play is just to create projects. I'm not playing with any of my own money. I'm just kind of generating different ERC-20 projects and waiting another couple months before I think ERC-721s are a little more back in vogue. I'm watching some floor prices on those to kind of determine that when that is ready to launch some ERC-721 projects as a developer. And then with my own personal money, I'm waiting until May, until the Bitcoin halving. Then I'm putting all of my money in, usually on leveraged Bitcoin longs. And just preparing myself, even with my own 401k plan, I'm buying MicroStrategy options until the end of the bull run, until the December 2025. I feel very confident with this cycle. I think this is going to be our last big bull run cycle. We may in the future, this one, I don't think we're going to see a super cycle, but we may eventually switch over to a 7 to 9 year super cycle that kind of flows with the overall stock market and overall economic trends throughout the world. So I think that's where we are with this particular bull run. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be fascinating. I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things as far as SocialFi goes. So this is a great topic today. And I'm pretty excited about what innovation we're going to see on that front, especially if some players like X come in here and offer a SocialFi solution. They will be the last mover in that space, in my opinion, if they go that route. Until then, just creating token-gated assets, asset-backed tokens is my new emphasis with real property, real estate, different mechanisms that kind of hold a higher floor price and that do some pretty interesting things. So that's it. Just waiting until May and then making some big moves in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency at large. Thank you.
All right, Drew. Thank you so much for that. DJ, your final thoughts? What are you currently focusing on?
I'm focusing on my social media still because I work in social media in general, right. Web 2.0. And continue DJing, which is my passion too. That's why my name is so DJ. Would love to implement DJing in Web3 somehow. I've been offered a few times in Metaverse, but I want something. Hopefully there'll be a utility or something that I could do to implement both crypto and DJing in one use case, hopefully, and learn more about SocialFi. At the end of the day, I work in social media, and like I said before, we're social creatures, so it's something that's definitely got my intrigue Definitely got my intrigue going. So yeah, that's mainly what I'm focusing on right now. I'm just waiting for the next ball whenever it comes. I'm in Nova, so whenever it comes, comes.
All right. On that note, thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you, Matthias. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Drew, for generously sharing your time and knowledge. I'm sure the audience had a lot to learn from your valuable insights. And I wish you all the very best for your future endeavors. And I hope we can have this time to collaborate again in future. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I just want to say I love the insights as well, Matthias and Drew. They were very eye-opening. I will give them that. It was very, very interesting to hear you guys as well. Thank you.